Okay, so let's conclude our mini-series on fasting. We started last week, and so today is part two. So last week we started by looking at the biblical principles of fasting. If you ask for a definition in my own words, I would say taking away something from this world in order to make more room for God in our lives. Now, you won't find this sentence in the Bible, but that's how I would describe it. That's how I would see the purpose of fasting. It can, of course, be things like I'm going to watch less TV, or I'm going to turn the TV off completely, or I'm going to get off social media for a while, or I'm going to spend less time on my hobbies. So it can be any of that, but the point is really that we use the extra time we have and spend it to be with God instead. So if I watch TV or play games or something an hour, then I say, I'm not going to do that for a while, and instead, I'm going to spend that time praying, focusing on my relationship with God. So of course, we can fast on these things, but the main way of fasting from the Bible is really abstaining from food. Jesus said that his followers will fast. And what he meant was that his followers will, in seasons, abstain from food. So if we call ourselves Christians, but we never fast, then we are really disobedient to the commandment and to the expectation that Jesus has on us. Abstaining from physical food has two main effects. First of all, we become more sensitive to God's voice. We become more sensitive to the spiritual world. And secondly, we have more time. If we don't cook, we don't eat, we don't spend time cleaning up afterwards and all these things, then of course we have more time. And then depending on the type of fast we do and depending on our body and everything, for some people we also sleep less. And so we have more time, and then if we are disciplined, we have more time to pray, we can spend more time with God, we are more sensitive to God's voice. We bring our needs to God instead of being satisfied and comforted by food. And all these things together help us to go deeper in our relationship with God. And fasting seasons really can have a long-term effect, not just for those week or 3 weeks or 40 days or however long we are fasting, so not just for a limited time, but it can really transform our walk with God for a lifetime. So last time we laid these biblical foundations. We talked more theory. Today, as promised, we'll talk more about practical steps. How do we go about it? I'll share some more biblical principles, share some more of my personal experiences, also some good practices that the church has held on to for the last 2,000 years. And then we can put that all together, bring that to God, and then see how God is guiding us. But before we go into all this, I want to remind ourselves of one very important principle. We cannot measure our spirituality by how well we fast. I've seen people boasting about their ability to fast, telling everyone how long they have been fasting and these kind of things. And as we looked at last time, Jesus said, well, if that's what we want, that's all we get. Yes, we will get praise from men, and yes, we will get a thumbs up or a high five, and people will say, oh, great, you're fasting so long, you must be a great person. But that's it. Don't expect to receive anything from God if our focus is to get praise from other people. So I've met people like that, but I've also met I've met some genuine Christians who really loved God, and they didn't fast a lot. And some of them had very good reasons. Some of them had medical reasons. And they just said, I cannot really do a water fast or something like this because I have a medical condition and it just doesn't work. I would die or get really sick. Of course, there are seasons like pregnancy when it's not a good idea to fast either. Maybe it's the kind of job that people have. And they say, for my job, I need my physical strength. And so I cannot do a 40 days fast because I would lose my job. It doesn't bring glory to God if a construction worker is fasting and he's getting fired because he can't do his job anymore. It doesn't bring glory to God if you lose your child during pregnancy because you're fasting. Or it doesn't bring glory to God if your kidneys stop working just because you're overdoing a fast. That's obvious. So this world is all about performance that can be measured. And we have to be careful. Fasting is not like that. Fasting is not something like, well, if you fast double as long as the other person, then you're double as spiritual or something like this. That's nonsense. Fasting is about our heart attitudes. Maybe one person can fast a lot and several times a year and do all kinds of things, but their heart is set on pleasing man or appearing religious before man. And God is not pleased with that at all. And maybe another person fasts very seldom for various reasons. But it's God-guided. It's God-driven. The purpose is to please God. And with that, God is very happy. Let's remember, it's not salvation by works. We cannot earn anything from God by fasting. So the bottom line, let's not compare. Let's not look at how other people fast and say, oh, I can look down on you because you fast less than me. Or look up to someone and say, oh, you must be such a great person because you fast more than me. This is all worldly thinking. This is all worldly wisdom. Fasting is a personal matter. It's between you and God for you. It's between me and God for me. And we cannot compare that to each other. So with that being said, let's look at the different types of fasting that we find in the Bible. The first one is Jesus' example in the wilderness. Matthew 4, verses 1 and 2. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. So Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And at the end it says he was hungry. It does not say that he was thirsty. And generally interpreted, this passage is that Jesus did not eat for 40 days, but he did drink. Because in the wilderness, obviously, what do you have there? You might have some water that you can drink, but no food around you. And this is the example that many people use for their own fast as well. That they say now and then, maybe once a year or once every 2 years or something like that, I'm going to set aside 40 days, and during those 40 days, I'm going to consume water only. No other drinks, no food, no solid food, no nothing. Water only for 40 days. Another example would be the total fast. That's Esther's example. Queen Esther and the Israelites did that. They said for 3 days, no intake at all, no food, no drink, no water, no nothing. Esther 4, verse 16, this was Esther's command. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. This type of fast is often used in situations of emergency. Esther and the Israelites were in a real emergency because the whole nation was about to be annihilated by the occupying force. Haman was about to kill every single one of them. And so Esther's response was, we need God to intervene here. We need God's help. And we need to do something radical. We need to do something, we need God to intervene in such a way that we can't wait, we can't just sit here and see what happens. We got to respond to this threat right here, right now. And so Esther said, the whole nation, every single one of us, let's do a total fast. 72 hours, 3 days, 3 nights, nothing. No water, no liquid intake, no solid intake, 3 days, nothing at all. This might be the right fast for some of us as well in these kind of situations of emergency. In a situation when it's about life and death, in a situation when it really looks like the whole world could fall apart here for us right now, or maybe for a relative, for a family member or something like this, that could be a situation where we might say, I'm going to be like Esther, and I'm going to do a total fast as well, because we really need God to intervene right here. Right now. Now, if you want to do a total fast, I do want to say then really follow Esther's example and limit it to 3 days. Because after 3 days, it gets medically serious. So no intake at all for more than 72 hours, that could really harm your body permanently. So if that's something that you consider, if God is leading you that way, great, go ahead. But then unless you really feel like God is telling you something different, limit it to 72 hours from the very beginning before you damage your body in any way. So that's Esther's example. Then we see the vegetable fast in the book of Daniel. Daniel 1, 12 to 15. Daniel said, "Test your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before you and the countenance of the young man that eat of the portion of the king's food. And as you see fit, deal with your servants." So he consented to them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who did eat the portion of the king's food. Daniel didn't want to be defiled with the royal food because that was against the Jewish law, against their habits. And so he said, well, we want to eat vegetables only, him and his friends. And the result, in the end, he was stronger and healthier than the others. And so he kind of won the battle. And so he got then promoted and all kinds of things. But it all started because he was willing to fast, because he was willing to say, I'm not going to eat all the stuff that these pagan nations are eating. We are going to stick to the law of God. So please give us vegetables and water only. This type of fast might be a good alternative for someone who needs their physical strength. Because in this way, we still have the benefits of fasting, but we don't necessarily lose our physical strength. So if it's someone who says, well, I really need to stay strong, maybe I have kids at home, or maybe I need physical strength at work, so I can't really be in a condition where my physical strength just goes down, then this could be a good alternative to say, I'm going to do a vegetable-only fast, just like Daniel. So we still have the benefits of a fast without necessarily becoming physically weak. Then there's one more type of fast mentioned in the Bible. It's not directly about food, but it's related to a food fast, and that is the sexual fast. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, "Deprive not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your lack of self-control." Now, this obviously only applies to married couples. The key is that a couple agrees with each other, first of all, for a time, not indefinitely, but you limit it to, in the very beginning, to say for a week or for a month or whatever. So we are going to abstain from sexual intimacy. Second principle, there has to be consent. It can't just be the husband saying we are going to do that. It can't just be the wife saying we are going to do that. There has to be consent between the two of them. And the third principle, it has to be accompanied with prayer and fasting. So not just a sexual fast for the sake of a sexual fast, but it has to be accompanied with a focus, with a purpose. Instead of having sexual intimacy, we are going to be praying and fasting, and we are going to be focusing on our relationship with God. So a sexual fast can accompany a food fast. It can be another element to free up our schedules, to help us to focus on God and not be distracted by the things of this world. So these are different types of fast that we see in the Bible. Of course, there are also other ways in which we can fast. For example, we can do a liquid fast. This works pretty well for me. I cannot do a water-only fast because after around 1 or 2 days, I just get terrible headaches and I just stop functioning altogether. But what works relatively well for me is that I say I only drink. So I can still drink some juice and get some nutrition from that. I can still maybe drink some milk or something like that. And so I still get some nutrition, but at the same time, I really have the effects of the withdrawal, the hunger, and the cravings, and all those things that come. So this is something that works relatively well for me. I'm not saying this is what everyone should do, but I can say from my experience, this is a type of fast that works for me. Some people say, I cannot do this kind of fast, but I can limit myself to certain times. For example, they say, well, at work, I really need to be on the top of my game. And I really need my strength and I need my focus. So I need a breakfast, because otherwise I can't function. I need a lunch, because otherwise in the afternoon I don't function either. But what I can do is I can skip dinner. So in the evening I don't eat. In the evening I save my time. In the evening I focus on God. And so that 1 hour that I usually spend eating, cleaning up and cooking and everything, I'm going to skip that time. And so during that time I'm going to focus on my relationship with God instead, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to spend extra time with God. So that also works for a lot of people. I've also done that, and that can also be a great way of fasting and focusing on God. And of course, it can be a combination of different ideas. It's not like you have to do exactly one of these ways. I know people who said something like, well, during the week, I have to work and I have to function, so during the week I cannot fast a lot, but then on the weekends I can, because I have less responsibilities and I'm less driven by work and everything. So Monday to Friday I kind of do a light fasting, and then Saturday, Sunday I do an intense fasting, and then they do that kind of fast for a few weeks. So we can all make this work for ourselves. Life situations are different, responsibilities are different, bodies are different, and so there is not the one way how we all should fast. Let's just remember, Jesus told us he expects us to fast. How? That is different for you, for me, for everyone. We can all make this work depending on our life circumstances, on our responsibilities, on our bodies. The important thing is we have to feel a real sense of an absence. Otherwise, it's not really a fast. For me personally, I can easily fool myself and say I'm fasting when I'm actually not. I could fast on something like, well, I don't eat meat. And then what would I do if I say that? Well, I probably go to Rewe and buy all kinds of meat replacement products that are vegetarian or something. Not that that is bad, but would I feel an absence in my life? Would I feel like I'm really fasting? Would I certain cravings come out after a few days or weeks that I really feel like, wow, something is missing in my life? No, it wouldn't. I would just change my diet, but I wouldn't really be fasting. I could fool myself by saying, I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol anyways. So that's not a fast. Or I say, well, I don't eat sweets. Well, then I'll just eat other stuff. Then I'll just eat other forms of snacks and not sweets, and nothing will really change. For me personally, giving up on anything like this wouldn't really change anything. It would be a dietary change, but it wouldn't really be a fast. So we have to be careful that we don't just do a diet and we call it a fast. A fast means that there is a real absence in our lives. There's something that we are longing for, something that we are craving for, some desire in us that we deprive ourselves from for a time. And we really say, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to do that. And I use these kind of cravings, these kind of desires that I have to run to God instead of being satisfied by other things. So we've covered the different types of fasts we can consider. Let's talk a bit more about how we can plan a fast. First of all, we need to block time for God. Guess what can happen if we say, okay, I'm going to fast, and then after a few days we kind of realize, okay, so I have more time, wonderful, because I'm not cooking, I'm not cleaning the dishes and everything, so I have an extra hour. Maybe eventually we feel like, okay, I need less sleep, so in the evening I have more time. Wonderful. If we don't have a plan, what will we do? Scroll on Facebook, watch another movie, do this, do that, and we will just fill the extra time with other stuff. That's why when we fast, we need to make a conscious effort to say, I'm going to spend the extra time with God, and I'm not going to compromise on that. Otherwise, yeah, we're fasting, but we're just filling our lives with other things instead. So make a plan beforehand. And again, that works very differently for different people. If that is a certain schedule that we then say every evening at 9 p.m., I'm going to spend some time praying, or I'm going to get up earlier in the morning, or anything like that. Or maybe we are working shifts, so maybe we have to be a bit more flexible, or maybe we have small kids at home, and they drive us crazy anyways, so we can't really make a schedule. So we have to just take it flexible. That's then again different from person to person. The point is, put God in your schedule. Be intentional about that and start there from the beginning. I'm going to fast and I'm going to spend extra time with God, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then we can also try to postpone certain things that maybe are not urgent. And we can say, you know, I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to do that after my fasting. We could say something like, you know, there is a concert this month, but those guys come back again in 2 months. So I'm not going to go there during my fasting season. I'm going to go there for the next concert. Or, you know, I could organize a party during my fast, but I'm going to postpone that party by a month because I want to be focused on my fast during that time. And so I'm going to do that party later on. I'm not going to interrupt my fast for this. Or we say, I won't organize the church event this month. I'll let someone else do it because this is a time for me and God. And I don't want to be bothered with all these burdens and this time that it takes to organize this event. Happened to me one time in Shanghai. I was in a fast, had already started, and then suddenly someone came to me and was like, hey, there's this retreat. Could you organize it? And I said, no, I'm in a fast, and I don't want to be distracted by all this stuff. Right now it's time for me and my relationship with God. And ask me again in 2 months, I'm happy to do it, but right now it's not the right time. So try to postpone things that maybe are not urgent, that can wait till after the fast. And then try to give yourself a time frame because it helps us be more focused. I have tried fasting indefinitely. I have tried the kind of fast where I said, I'll just fast and I see how it goes. And when I don't feel like fasting anymore, then I'll stop. Nearly always, when I did that kind of indefinite fast, it was very, very short. Because after 2-3 days, I felt like, you know, I'm hungry, I feel miserable, I don't want to do this, and I never committed to a long-term fast anyways. So let me just break the fast right here, right now. It's very easy to give in if we don't have a time frame. It's very easy to just kind of compromise when we don't really say from the beginning, I want to fast for a week, or I want to fast for 2 weeks, or something like this. For me personally, it works much better if I say from the very beginning, here's my start, here is my end. And then I'm much more determined to actually make it happen. And the second thing that really helps me when I have a time frame, I'm more focused. Because then I know I'm not going to fast forever. I only have 1 week left in my fast. So I really need to make the most of this week. So I'm going to really spend time with God. I'm going to really press in. I really want some answers from him. And since my time is limited, till I'm going to break my fast, so I better do it now. When I have this kind of indefinite attitude, I tend to waste time, at least for me. Because I think, well, I don't know when I'll finish, so I don't need to press into God right now. I can do other things now. I can still do it next week. And then I'm just not as focused. I'm not just not as determined as I want to be during a fast. So this might be different for you, but for me personally, having a fixed time frame really makes a difference. First of all, I'm more focused, and secondly, I'm more determined to actually make it happen and not just give in the first time I feel hungry. Next thing we can do before a fast, have a clear focus on what we really want to receive from God, what we really want to achieve during that fast. To just be clear, this is why I'm fasting. Maybe we are seeking guidance from God. Maybe we are saying, God, my job, my marriage, or maybe potential marriage if we are single, or maybe a place to live or something like this. Maybe we are really at this point where we just want to seek God's will and say, God, I could turn right now, I could turn left now, I don't know what to do, please guide me, please speak to me. And maybe that is why we are fasting, maybe that is what we want, clear guidance from God. Maybe we are seeking a spiritual gift. Maybe we are seeking God to equip us for something. And we say, God, I know you're calling me into something, I know you want to use me in a certain way, but I'm not equipped, I'm not ready, so I'm going to fast. Please equip me. Give me strength, give me wisdom, give me self-control so that I can do the thing that you call me to do. Maybe it's about overcoming sin. Maybe we are caught in a certain sin and we have tried different things and we just can't get out of it. And then maybe we say, I'm going to fast and I'm going to use this time and I'm going to ask God to equip me that I will not fall in this sin ever again. I'm going to be an overcomer, and this is the purpose of my fast, so that I will overcome this sin and not live in this kind of lifestyle any longer. There are many different reasons why people fast, but be clear about it. Don't just fast into the blue and be like, yeah, I'm going to fast, but I don't know why. I don't really know what my goal is. But really be clear about it from the beginning. That doesn't mean that God cannot change it. Of course, sometimes God can tell us one thing in the beginning, and then as we fast, then God changes our focus or changes our goal or something like that. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, it's good to have a focus as we go in the fast, because then we really have something that we can pursue, something that we can run after, and we don't just fast and wonder, like, what am I doing? Why am I fasting? It gives us a purpose, and it gives us a reason to continue. But of course, we should be careful. We cannot, as I shared last week, we cannot twist God and just use a fast to get him to do what we want him to do. That's never going to work. So it really has to be God-guided. If I say, God, I'm going to fast until you give me that car, or until you give me a better job, or I'm going to fast until that girl finally says yes, that I want to marry, or something like that, that's not a fast, that's a hunger strike. So we have to be careful. It's about seeking God's will. It's about going after him and doing his will. And it's not about trying to twist God to do what we want him to do. But at the same time, have a focus, have a goal according to God's will. That can help us a lot to make the most of our fasting time. Next principle, be ready for a rough start. Physical reality, our bodies need some time to adjust, especially if we do a stronger fast. It depends on the type of fast we are doing, but for me personally, if I do a liquid-only fast or something like that, I know the first 2-3 days are going to be bad. I'm going to be moody, I'm going to be cranky, I'm going to be short-tempered, I'm going to be unfair, all kinds of things. We should be prepared that the first few days can be quite rough. It's in those days that we will be most tempted to give up. If we commit and say, I want to do a 3 weeks fast, and on the second day we feel really horrible and we feel like throwing up and feel like I don't function anymore, then we feel like I just started. I'm not even 10% into this time, and I already feel horrible. I'm not going to make it anyways. And that's then so tempting to just say from the very beginning, I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to fast any longer. The beginning is often difficult, and we need to be aware of that. Sometimes maybe we even need to inform others. And we need to tell our family or someone, hey, bear with me, I'm going to fast. And you might get some nasty comments from me. I might be unfair or impatient towards you. I apologize in advance, but bear with me. I'm fasting. The thing is, the benefits of fasting usually take a few days to become evident. So the first few days are going to be the rough days. And then maybe after 2 or 3, 4 or 5 days, suddenly we realize, oh, now I notice the change. Now I notice that I feel closer to God. Now I notice that I'm more sensitive towards God. Now I notice that I have more time. Now I have the ability to spend more time with God. Now I really reap the benefits. Now I can really go after Him. And now fasting really has a positive effect on me. But those effects often don't come immediately. They often don't come the first or the second day. They often need a few days to become evident. And so if we give up early, all we think about is, okay, fasting is horrible. It makes me miserable. And if we give up on the third day, we will never reap the benefits of it. So be prepared for the rough start. Be aware of it. And really press into God and say, God, I'm going to push through this now. And maybe in a few days, then I will really be able to reap the benefits from you. Be prepared, rough start, benefits later. It can also be a good idea to fast together. Fasting together sometimes gives us a healthy group pressure that we feel like, I don't want to give up now because, well, we're committed to fasting together. So I don't want to let you down. So I'm going to keep on going. Fasting together means we can encourage each other. We can hold each other accountable. We can pray for each other, that we can make it together, and all those things. Fasting together can have real benefits. It can really make it easier for us because we have one another. If we don't find someone to fast together right now, then maybe we can still do it together in a sense of accountability. And we can say, I don't expect you to fast with me, but could you please pray for me? And could you please check in on me? Maybe once every 2 days or something like that, how I'm doing and whether I'm still doing well and whether I'm still fasting and these kind of things. So even if we don't find someone to fast together with, we can still find other Christians who can support us, pray for us, and hold us accountable. So these are a few things that we can do at the beginning of the fast or before a fast where we can say, I'm going to be prepared. And I'm going to be ready. I'm going to start in 2 weeks. I'm going to start in 1 week. And these are some of the steps that I'm taking before I start fasting. During the fast, stay disciplined. Keeping up the eating habits can be hard. And it usually doesn't get easier. The more withdrawal we experience, the more self-control we need. So the longer it takes, or the longer we are fasting, the more we need to stay disciplined concerning our time with God. One of the things I noticed, Satan is very good in filling up our schedules when we are fasting. Everything is fine, suddenly we start fasting, and suddenly I'm being sent on business trips all the time, much more than usual. Or maybe suddenly all kinds of events come around and suddenly I've realized I could fill my, there are so many temptations right now and there are so many events and so many things I could do and I really need to stay disciplined because this is really distracting me from the purpose of my fast. Suddenly we might have deadlines in our jobs. We never have deadlines or we never have so many deadlines at once and then we start fasting and suddenly the pressure from all sides just increases. Or suddenly sickness comes or something like this. We get sick or a family member gets sick or something like that. And during a fast, suddenly we realize all my time and my energy is being eaten away. And it is as if someone is trying to work against my fast. Well, there is. Satan knows how powerful fasting seasons can be. And that's why we need to be aware that he is right there. He cannot take away our fasting. He cannot take away God from our lives, but what he can do is he can try to distract us with all kinds of things so that we don't spend time with God. So be aware of that. stay disciplined and really focus on why you are fasting and keeping it up with our schedules, with our eating habits and everything, to really focus on what this is truly all about. Now, of course, we will all sooner or later ask the question, what if I can't keep it up? I committed to a 3 weeks fast or something like this, and then after a week, my body just couldn't take it any longer, or my performance at work went down, my boss started criticizing me, and I just feel like, okay, everything is going bad, everything is going down. What should I do? Well, remember, it's not about performance. God is not going to sit up there and say, if you break your fast 1 minute earlier than you committed, then I'm going to slap you. That's not God. Ask him, seek him, and if you really can't take it any longer, and if it really has all kinds of consequences, and you feel like this is not working anymore, it's okay. It's not about performance. It's not about meeting a legalistic goal or anything like that. It's about our relationship with God. And if we just can't keep it up any longer, God is not going to punish us for doing our best. So that's during the fast. Towards the end of the fast, I personally try to have some time for reflection. Because it's easy that then life just continues and we kind of move on and we forget about our fast and what has happened. So I try to really spend some extra time towards the end of the fast saying, God, what did you speak to me? What did you say? What happened during this fast? What did you give me? What did you speak? How did you equip me? And really reflecting on what has God given to me during this fast. What has changed? Have you equipped me with something? Is there something that you have given me that you want me to use for your glory now? What has changed during this fast? What is different now compared to 2 days before I started fasting? What do I want to keep up even after finishing the fast? We all know we can't fast our whole lives. That's not possible. But maybe there is something we can keep up. And maybe we can say, you know, this was such a wonderful time fasting. I'm going to do it again in 6 months. Or maybe I cannot fast 7 days a week, but maybe I can fast 1 day a week. And that's something that is more realistic to kind of keep up and to do that long term. And to say, well, this is something that I want to do from here, that maybe at least one meal a week or something like that, I will continue fasting, even though my fasting season is over right now. Maybe there is something I'm doing right now. Or I say, you know, even if I continue eating again soon, I still want to make more time with God. So I'm still going to say, well, on, I don't know, Tuesday morning, I'm going to get up at 5. And I'm going to spend time with God before I go to work, because this was such a wonderful time that I had with him now. So, is there something I want to keep up even after finishing my fast? And what can I do so that I don't simply go back to the way I lived before the fast? Is there any kind of discipline that God has given me? Any kind of self-control that God has given me that I want to say, I'm going to use it, fasting or not, but God has equipped me with some self-control, with some self-discipline, and I'm not going to keep that up even when I'm not fasting. So that's a good practice to do some form of reflection towards the end of the fast. And then the last point, getting off a fast can take just as much or maybe even more discipline than staying in the fast. Especially if we do an intense fast, something like water only or liquid only. What happens is really that our bodies get used to that way of living. And they get used, our stomach gets smaller and smaller, and our stomach gets used to, well, no food coming. So, our condition at the end of the fast, we are very hungry, and we are allowed to eat again. What are we tempted to do? Eat a lot. And eat a lot of the stuff that we have been craving for whatever time frame we have been fasting. The trouble here is really our bodies cannot cope with that change. If we go from eating nothing to eating tons of German food within 12 hours, then we might really harm our bodies once again. We have to be careful. Sometimes it's good to say, I'm going to start with soft food. I'm going to eat something like something watery first, something like watermelon or strawberries or something like that that has a lot of water. And I'm going to eat that for a day or for two until my body gets used to that again. Maybe I'm going to eat some very soft vegetables or something like this first before I eat a lot of meat so that my body gets used to digesting food again. Maybe I'm going to eat little and often. Instead of having huge meals, maybe two or three times a day, what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat small snacks. And then I'm going to digest them first. And then when I feel like, okay, my body can cope with that, then I'm going to eat the next snack a couple of hours later. These kind of things. So take some time before you go back to normal. Take some time before you eat the heavy food again. And listen to any kind of pain that our bodies might give us. Because I do know people who ended up in hospital because they did a long-term fast. And then specifically one friend that I can think of, in the middle of the fast, he got invited to a wedding. And then he thought, well, at the wedding I can't fast, so I'm going to eat normally. He ended up in hospital that very evening because his body was not able to cope with all the food that he tried to eat. So take it slowly. Take it easy. You don't have to eat normally again a day or two after the fast. There's nothing wrong with taking a week or even 2 weeks until you go back to your normal eating habits. All right, that's it. Now we have it. We have the biblical principles of fasting that we covered last time. We have our personal experiences. We have good practices that we talked about today. Now we have everything we need to actually do it. Now we have what we need to put it into practice. Now, as I said last week, we are not going to call for a church-wide fast. Lent is a good time to fast, but it's not always the right time for everyone. And I certainly don't want to play God, and I want to say, now it's time for all of you to fast. That's God's job, that's not mine. So we're not going to call for a church-wide fast, but I do want to remind us all, Jesus expects us to fast. He told us his followers will fast. It's not just for some people. It's not just for people who take Jesus more seriously than others or anything like that. His followers will fast. And if we call ourselves his followers, then we need to be obedient to that. And we need to make fasting something that fits to our lifestyle. Some of us more often, some of us maybe less often. That's between you and God. But if we have to admit, I did no kind of fasting ever in the last 5 years, then I would say something isn't quite right. Then we are not really obedient to what Jesus is commanding us. So I can't tell you whether this is a season for you to fast, but I do want to encourage all of us to seek God and to simply ask him, is this a time for me to fast? If no, don't feel like you should fast just because I say so. Then it's fine. Then just have an open ear and wait for God to tell you, I don't know, 3 months and 6 months in a year. Now is the time for you. That's between you and God. But if God says, yes, now is the time, then let's respond. And then let's fast. And let's be obedient to what he's calling us to do. May we pray. God, thank you for giving us this wonderful tool of fasting. And thank you, Lord, that you really show us that through a discipline like this, that you're so much greater and you have so much more to offer to us than what this world could ever give us. Thank you that you're a good God. And thank you, Lord, that through something like fasting, we can really experience you in a deeper way, and we can really encounter you in such a greater way. We can be numbed so easily by the things of this world, and be satisfied with stuff of this world, whether it's food, whether it's TV or anything like that. But Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. If there's anything that you want us to abstain from during this Lent season, if there's anything that you want us to abstain from during, or maybe even give up completely, I don't know. That's up to you. But Lord, we pray that you will give us the hearts for you, the faith and the courage to really go to you and to ask you what it is that you want us to abstain from for a time or forever. Help us, Lord, to hear from you. Help us, Lord, to receive from you what you want to say to us. And give us the faith and the courage and the self-control and the discipline to then actually do it. And Lord, we know as we fast, as we let go of something of this world, you will reward us in much greater way, and you will give us things that are so much greater than anything this world could ever give us. So thank you that you are such a good God, and help us to be faithful in how we respond to your call to fast for the glory of your name. Amen. As usual, take a few moments and hear what he wants to say.